7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, number one video game podcast in Morrowind. I'm one of your hosts this week, Bryant Veloth Daniels, and joining me across the universe on Skype is none other than Todd Terribilly Fortner. What's going on, Terribilly?
I come to bring the pain, hardcore to the brain. What's up, brethren?
Not much, man. Not much. If this is your first time joining us, we're Skip the Tutorial video game show. Usually, what we do is we get together, talk about the video games we've been playing, we talk about some video game news, and then we break down a roundtable. But occasionally, after a long run of episodes and content, we do a mini-sode for you guys, which is a top seven. This week is a mini-sode. Todd, what's our top seven this week?
We're going to do top seven Bethesda games. Now, once again, you know, always the disclaimer, these are our favorite games. This isn't us saying this is the best game, you know, and this is always open for additional commentary to see what you think and what games you like. But this is the shit that we like from Bethesda because we fucks with Bethesda pretty much. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like
sir.
E3 sparked a lot of this. So, yeah, Bethesda, man. Top seven Bethesda games.
Right? It did. And going back to what Todd said, we do like to hear from you. I'm kidding. Our opinions are right. Yours are wrong. We don't want to hear anything from you. No, we're joking. If you agree or disagree with our opinions, feel free to hit us up on Twitter at STT_pod. You can hit us up at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpod. We got an Instagram, Skip the Tutorial Podcast. Or you can email us. If you go to our Facebook page, you can just click that button at the top or skip the tutorial podcast at gmail.com. But we want to know your opinion, so agree or disagree, let us know. Now, anybody who's been listening to the show long enough usually knows how these top sevens go. However, we're adding a little bit of we're adding an additional element to these top sevens occasionally. So if there's news for the week, we're going to go over some of that news, etc. So this week we're going to do that. But before that, we got some shout outs. Todd, you ready for the love? We got some tribe love going on out there, man.
That's what I'm saying, man. Oh, yeah, man. I dig that, too. I definitely dig that. And I was just thinking whenever you were shouting out all the different little aspects online that they can get into us, I was like, do we need to start a Skip the Tutorial, like Tinder page?
Skip the Tutorial meetup. Skip the Tutorial singles. it's like ChristianSingles.com.
My girl just like randomly just got pissed off for no reason.
yeah, that's what happened. All right, so first up, we got an iTunes review this week from Sweetheart1318. I'm ready for this. This podcast is amazing. It feels real with honest opinions, and they love the tribe and take our feedback, and it feels genuine and makes you want to kick back and listen or go on a long drive and feel like you're back with friends. Keep it up, guys. Hashtag tribe love. Thank you, Sweetheart. Man that
straight
feels
up.
Good, right?
Yeah, bro. The biggest thing is she gets it. Like, we really do value the people that listen to us' opinion, man. It's about the community more than us, really, honestly. So that was like, yet again, man, another dope-ass review. Dopeness level 3005. You are appreciated, Sweetheart. 1318. Real shit.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Blake Lockhart on Twitter sending some love our way. Said, I've been listening for a few weeks now. Love the podcast. Entertaining and funny. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Blake. And I just have to credit him just real quick on a guy who really accepted his last name and used it as one of the greatest Twitter handles I've ever seen. Blake Lockfart. Thank you, sir.
I didn't even know that. That's dope.
That was amazing. I saw that. I was like, that's funny right there.
I didn't see that. I was surprised. That's what's up.
That was funny. Also, real quick, to shout out to Martin on Twitter. You know, Martin, we love you. You're always retweeting. You're always following. Thank you so much. You got it on the laptop. I'm glad you got out to Cali. We saw that. Good luck out there. Whatever your endeavors are, man. You know, we'll keep sending episodes your way, my friend. Episodes your way. Also, we got a new Podbean subscriber, Todd. We got a few new. One here that we wanted to shout out was Marquez Kenya 88. Thank you so much for subscribing.
Yeah, man, we got to show the Podbean subscribers love. They kind of jumped up a little bit. I mean, it's still, you know, but just a few it's exclusive. You know what I mean? Like, I love our group. I love our people. They just seem like they solid folks. Like, the people that fuck with us fuck with other people. So, yeah, man, Podbean, iTunes, all that.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys get on there, you can leave us comments. And we support all of our Podbean followers. We're just shouting out the ones. We're just starting that to really dig into some of that. But thank you so much, Marquez, Bugsy, Skater Boy, Lariva, everybody, Hoopers, R. Sanders, everybody who follows us. Thank you so much. All right. So before we get into our minisode, we're actually going to get into just a little bit of news this week. So let's break this down. News segment. I want the news segment now. So magical sky music gods, give me that news segment. It's not music, it's Anchorman, but whatever.
Channel 4 News with 5-time Emmy Award winning anchor, Ron Burgundy. Cham Kine, sports. Rick Tamlin, weather. And your reporter in the field, Brian Fantana.
It's Channel 4 News at 6 o'clock.
All right, that was the news segment.
Hold on. What about? Oh yeah, one more. I gotta just say it one more time, man. Before we get into the news, Faded Gorilla.
Yes, yes, yes. Before we get into the news, sorry about that. Yeah, Faded Gorilla, the iTunes review from last week. I completely skipped over this. You are our winner of the $35 Amazon gift card. So please email us at skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com to collect on that gift card. We give away these once a month. For reviews or tweets or retweets or listens, whatever. Like, you show whatever. Us love,
it's
we show
super
you love.
Random. And it's super random how you get picked, man. So it's crazy. It's crazy how you got picked, Faded Gorilla. So thank you. Like, super random.
Thank you so much. Yeah, hit us up. Let us know, man. Let us know. I know we're kind of, we're just feeling the love this week. That's the thing. We're just feeling the love. We also have a new like on Facebook. Donovan, thank you so much. Welcome to the tribe. That just happened, by the way. So that was live for everybody who got to hear that. That just happened. But let's move on to the news. So we got the news segment. Let's break this down. We just got a little bit for you guys. So first piece of news for God of War. You know, we had to revisit God of War. Todd, 50.7% of those who play God of War reach credits. That's incredible.
That's because you got to finish it.
It's so like, good.
It's like Pringles.
It is. Once you pop it, you can't stop it.
That's what she said.
I'm just imagining Kratos popping it now. That's so weird.
No, I'm not. God damn it.
I need that memory to go away. I need that thought to go away.
Nah, man, but I mean, God of War is just a testament. I still don't see anything taken away from Game of the Year. I was about to say God of the Year, but same difference.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it going away either. I think most people are dragged through God of War because Kratos is going, boy, the entire time, and he's just like guilting you into not finishing the game. He's just screaming at you.
I think it's just because it's great. I think it's because it's hard to stop. It's got a good story, and it's you know what I mean? It's the greatness, bro. So, I'm like, you know, the homie comes out and talks about God of War, and he was just talking about he was still in, I believe, Elfenheim or whatever.
Yeah.
And now it's like, damn, you're still in Elfenheim? But we had to run through it, and I forgot, you know, him as a completionist, that's a good point. It's also one of those good games to kind of take your time on, so it's kind of cool to hear. 50.7% doesn't sound like a lot, but that is a lot of motherfuckers. I think, 3 million copies were sold, out the gate, like, real early. So, I mean, that's 1.5 million people that have already, you know.
Yeah,
the games to credit. That's not bad, bro.
That's pretty good, man. That's pretty freaking good. You're absolutely right. That is amazing, and it's one of the best single player story games I've ever played. It's definitely on my game of the year list right now. We got a few things coming up in September and October, but I just can't see anything knocking that off right now. It was just
Red Dead
so unique.
The only thing still that's got a chance, I think.
I think the long shot is Spider-Man, but you know. It just depends.
Spider-Man's gonna be fun. I'm gonna miss work for that, so that'll be great. Mm. But yeah,
absolutely. Next piece of news: Anthem. According to Ben Scott with BioWare, the end game will consist more of just strongholds, more of than just strongholds, which are their versions of dungeons. and he advised on Reddit, it looks like that the ending will be rewarding, have its own sets of rewards and challenges. So it's good to know they're thinking about the end game, BioWare. Think about that end game.
Figure it out, BioWare.
Like Stephen, like Stephen King, you're terrible in endings. So need you to get that right. Need you to get that right for once. Next piece of news, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker demo is now on the Switch. Now available on the Switch. You want to play as Toad, pissed off little mushroom, it's on the Switch. It's worth it. He's an angry little man.
Angry little Toad.
He's an angry little Toad. That's what he is. He's getting mad, throwing his hands up, trying to take his little mushroom hat off, but it's attached to his body because he's an organic being. Can't get it off. Little bastard. Little bastard.
I don't know if I'm gonna get this one for the Switch, man. I don't know. I have everything for the Switch now, and it just sits there a little bit. Like, I wish I could play it more. I still gotta finish the greatness that is Shaq Fu. I still didn't do it. Once Fortnite came out on it, all my Switch time went to Fortnite for a while. But
man, I don't know, man. I had it. I have it for the Wii U. I just have not played it. That's the thing. I bought this for the Wii U for 3 years ago, and I still haven't played it. I'm not going to buy it for the Switch, because then I won't play it for the Switch either. I got to play it for
but
the Wii U.
But you have it. You'll be able to look at it and hold it.
And caress it. And it's my little baby. My Captain Toad baby. A little bastard. All right.
I'm glad you don't have kids.
Me too. next piece of news coming out. Fortnite is considering putting a limit on resources for building in order to change the end game of the matches, because apparently, according to a press release from Epic Games, which ended with LOL, by the way, let's just talk about that. Press release ended with LOL. That's a little strange. Was this a text message? President Camacho. This was a text message. This wasn't a press release. They just texted a bunch of people. Yo, man, we tired of this building stuff. Now, they said that they're going to put a limit on it because they're tired of the in-game becoming nothing but building and shooting at people with rockets and shotguns. So that seems to be the big thing that they're trying to get away from. That's interesting.
Well, I'm glad for that in the sense of they're continuing to destroy any kind of skill gap that they have in Fortnite. So since I'm not that good at it, maybe that could help me win with my trash ass. Now, for the people that spend a whole lot of their life and time really dedicated to getting good at that game, I guess it's a big fuck you. But hey, I mean,
I'm okay with that. I want to win.
I don't know. I got mixed feelings on it.
Me too.
Because I'm like, whatever. You know what I mean? I'm not invested enough in the Fortnite to like give like an informed opinion. Because I'm not going at the. If I get to the end of the game, it's because I hid in a damn bush forever and nobody found me or something. But that's the only skill gap in that game, from what I understand. Just the building mechanics. If you learn and master the building mechanics, you're going to have a leg up on 99% of the people that's in there. So hopefully they don't ruin it for people that really actually take the time to get good at Fortnite. We'll see.
Yeah, man, I'm with you because I actually, the only way I make it to the top 10, and I always make it to the top 10, is because I'm a giant pansy in that game. I just hide everywhere. I just never engage with anything. I'm just like hiding in bushes. I'm hiding in buildings. And then the first time somebody comes around this corner with a shotgun or I hear them, it's usually I get real quiet and I just sit there and just kind of look around the screen waiting for somebody to come through. I'm not good at it. And then it's so different too, because when I play Overwatch, I play as D.Va, which is a tank in Overwatch. My thing with D.Va is I just rush right in head first to battle and I usually die within the first 30 seconds. No problems whatsoever. No concerns. I can dig it. Alright, so next piece of information we got for you this week. For our DBZ fans out there, classic Dragon Ball movies are going to be remastered and released into theaters for a limited time. We got Dragon Ball Z, Bardock, the father of Goku, Dragon Ball Z Fusion Reborn, and I missed the other one. What was the other one? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I forgot. Hold on.
And last but not least, Dragon Ball Z Broly, the legendary Super Saiyan. So all three of
these. Big Saiyan dude.
Broly. It is. It'll be good though, man. I like these movies. I've seen them. It's been a long time since I've seen them. Yeah, I like Dragon Ball Z though. I always mess with Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yeah, you know my love for Dragon Ball. I talk that shit about Dragon Ball Z, but I mean all about Broly, but he's definitely on one of my teams. Mm-hmm. I fucks with him. Stay out of the corner. He's a beast. If you get somebody in the corner with Broly, it's over with.
Absolutely. And additionally, looks like the Steam Summer Sale is now live. Woo! So it's going June 21st through July 5th. You can say goodbye to all your hard-earned money if you're on Steam. This is what happens every year. So this is going for 2 weeks, and it's going to have daily deals. If you've been part of a Steam Sale, it looks like the same thing. You get cards for everything you buy. Like right now, they got Cuphead on sale. If you haven't played Cuphead, don't bother. It's a shitty game. No, I'm kidding. Go buy it. Go buy Cuphead if you haven't played it. It's fantastic. Fantastic. All right. That's, oh, no. Luke Cage Season 2.
Oh, yeah, man. Bushmaster, motherfuckers. Luke Cage Season 2, man. I was watching that last night. It's actually better than I thought. Like, I thought it was going to be kind of trashy or not as good as the first one. But it's caught my attention. RIP Triple X dude, too, man. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Just a real quick, and that's just a sad story.
20, right? He was 20 years old?
Yeah, man.
That's sad.
BMW i8 just winged doors up, and he's just in there passed out. And motherfuckers on Instagram getting caught for everything. So, kids, just slow down, kids. Play some games. It's not that crucial.
Play some video games. Video games. Right. Video games save the world. That's what they do.
Exactly. And one more thing, because I kind of shit on Canada recently when that whole Pusha T Drake thing was going on, because I was feeling super patriotic, like super fake patriotic, because I was like, "That's you're damn right, Pusha. Fuck Drake and the Canada flag that he came in on." But I got to forgive Canada. I'm on a road of forgiveness for Canada. They're doing some things that I like.
Me too. I kind of like Canada. I was like, I don't like you, Drake. I like Pusha T, but I like Canada. Canada's all right. They're pretty good.
I guess that's the news for me. I don't know. That's nothing.
That's the news. That's it. That's the news. Canada's all right. That was your news for the week. Now it's time to move on to our top seven for the minisodes. All right, we're bringing down top seven Bethesda games. Todd, why don't you get us started, man? What's your number seven?
Number seven for me is a little game called Wet. Now,
wait a second. I don't think this is a video game, Todd. I think this is something else.
I mean,
anyway, no, it's a video game.
And I mean, let's preface this too. This is not just Bethesda games that they developed. In fact, a lot on my list aren't developed. They just published them. But the actual developer for this was Artificial Mind and Movement. It's a little niche game that came out 2009, and you play as a protagonist lady named Ruby, who's a bounty hunter. It was like a little game that I just like, because any game that has a person with two guns and a sword, I'm gonna find some fucking interest in it as a Devil May Cry fan. And they even had the slow motion kind of mechanics in it whenever you did certain combos and shit like that,
like the bullet time stuff.
Correct. Yeah, man. It was a cool little game for me. Like, once, that's why I say we always preface these top sevens, because I know people are going to be like murdering me on mine. Just like, why didn't you mention this Fallout? But Wet for me, with Bethesda being associated with them, is definitely got to be on my list when I look back on it, because I had a lot of fun with that little game, man. It was a different little game, and I wouldn't mind seeing something like that coming out again. I actually would rather probably see that than Rage 2, and that looks like it's gonna be pretty awesome. But yeah, so Wet, man, dual guns, acrobat killing causes me to get health. It wasn't rated that high back in the gap, you know what I'm saying? Metacritic probably gave it like a 70 or something, but I don't give a fuck. Like, I enjoy that game, so that's my number seven.
Absolutely. Good selection. It's one I never played. I always wanted to, though. It always looked like a lot of fun and enjoyable. My number seven is Call of Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth. Call of Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth. I'm a Lovecraft fan. I'm a horror fan. I couldn't get away from this. This game's a survival horror FPS. I say FPS. It's still very much survival horror. So you have to limit your bullets and, you know, you have to expend your bullets well in this game, because otherwise it's mostly just running through a linear story. There's not enough great Lovecraft games. This one I would put up there as a good one. Now, there's another Call of Cthulhu coming out this year, I believe, or next year. It's an RPG version. But this is enjoyable for what it is. It's a very quick game. It does not take long, but it's a lot of puzzle solving, a lot of survival horror elements, a lot of running around dark corners. I just remember it scared the crap out of me when I played it the first time. I went back and looked at the graphics and I was like, what was I thinking? But that being said, I want to replay it to see if it holds up. I just remember it being a very quick game, but I enjoyed it. And as a Lovecraft fan, I support any type of Lovecraft mythos being developed into a video game, just because it's a pretty big wide base. I mean, if you like Hellboy, you'd probably like Lovecraft. That's the thing. Like, it's kind of that same universe, that same style.
Dig it.
What is your number six, Talad?
My only Fallout entry is Fallout New Vegas.
Cool.
You know, we talk about it. I respect the fuck out of Fallout series, period. And I may give 76 a real try, even with my concerns about it. I really want to fuck with Fallout 76. I really want to pull it together. I want to get my online team. I want to get my people. I want to get the feel for it. But as far as the Fallout series overall, this is my one game that I really dug into before I just got completely frustrated and just stopped fucking with it. But that's not an indictment on the game. That's just my own personal preference. I just enjoy the crafting aspects of it. You know, it's an RPG and it's Fallout. I mean, it just felt really super Fallout-ish to me for what I could get. Like, I played the 4, I played 3 minimally, but like New Vegas is the one I spent the most time with. So Fallout New Vegas is my number 6.
That is a fantastic choice, and it will be talked about a little bit later. some more. Some hints for the list. My number 6 is Wolfenstein The New Order. Wolfenstein The New Order. When it first came out, I was like, you know, another Wolfenstein game. Do we really need to revisit this? You know, Wolfenstein 3D was great, and oh boy, was I wrong about those feelings. Wolfenstein New Order was fantastic. It's extremely bloody. It's extremely violent. It's a fun, chaotic, hectic shooter. It's just all over the place. And plus, you know, I know everybody's like, killing Nazis again in video games. They still make some of the best villains. Let's just remember that. They make really good villains. Because they're pretty terrible. Like, the whole Nazi party was a pretty terrible idea. Let's be honest for a minute. I don't know if anybody's really supporting not killing them in video games. But it's a fantastic game. It's creative. It's over the top. The characters are bizarre. There's a lot of like callbacks to history because of when it takes place, and you know, there's just some cool moments in Wolfenstein.
I don't know, Brian. I think I don't know. Maybe we're looking at this wrong. Maybe their civil rights should be protected as well.
I mean, according to a march going on in D.C. in the future, that's a thing that people are. I don't know what these crazy bastards are up to anymore.
Give me my guns! Anyway.
Give me my guns! I want to go protest them. I'm just going to go play Willer Walker Jr. at them at loud, full blast. Just a country song.
You can do that, and then I'll just play T-Pain.
We'll just do it back and forth. We'll just go back and forth the entire time. That'd be hilarious. Drop them out. Let me see. Never mind.
All right. Hopefully tonight. Never mind. We need this wine. So I can feel fine. Anyway.
What is your number 5, my friend?
Doom 2016 version of Doom. Boo-boo. Because it's dope that they put it on the Switch. And I respect the fuck out of them for doing that. I mean, how much, you know, do we need to get into with this? Doom's been around for quite a while. I mean, ID Software, ID X6 engine, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, man, as a Doom fan, and I actually, E3 got me excited for the new Doom. Of course, that's just going to be on the list. I got to find a way. I almost didn't even put this motherfucking list in order, man. Let's just to keep it real super transparent, because one of these games for sure should have been swapped out with Fallout. But Doom is my number 6. Right
now. That Doom will be coming up later.
See, I mean, bro, of course, man, the greatness.
It is
of
fantastic. It is.
Yeah.
My number five is Fallout 4. So the thing about Fallout 4 was, did I have my issues with Fallout 4? Of course I did. Everybody had issues with Fallout 4. But the game is fantastic in its own right. You know, maybe not storyline-wise. You know, maybe it's a little bit light on that. Maybe some of the quests. But just the idea of wearing power armor and taking a rocket-propelled sledgehammer to a super mutant's head over and over again until it just turns into mush. Yeah, I'm good. Like, I played a good 50 hours of that game. I loved Fallout 4. It was a blast. It was repetitive. I mean, I stopped because it was super repetitive, but I still know people today who are playing that game for, you know, they're on 250 hours of just playing Fallout 4 constantly. I had to give it its props. You know, it was a good new generation game for, you know, the PS4 when it came out. It's a lot of fun. It's enjoyable. It's super creepy at times. But, you know, it still, for me, got a little bit repetitive, so that's why it's a little lower on the list for me. What's your number four?
All right, it's a game that I'm just be flat out honest. I didn't have enough exposure to, but it's a good enough game for me to put it on the list for me to go back and actually try to play this game. And it's Dishonored, the original one. Because yes. It's assassin-y. Yeah, any kind of stealth game that Bethesda does, they do a pretty good job to me, you know, with these types of games. It just had a good feel as far as the action adventure aspects of it. And I like Arkane Studios, if that makes any sense. So, yeah, Dishonored is one of those games. It's like, okay, I have to go back and fuck with it. So it's definitely, that's really the main reason why I put it on the list, man. I'm just keeping it real. You know how these lists go. You know.
Yes. Yes. Dishonored is a fantastic game. I did play and beat Dishonored. I need to play the second one. The first one is still one of my favorite. It's a great stealth game, and that's the beauty about Dishonored. You don't get a lot of great first person stealth games. Like, that's what they did so well with that.
Agreed. Yeah.
My number four is Doom 3, the BFG edition. Doom 3, the BFG edition. I love Doom 3. I know it gets a lot of shit, but I love Doom 3. It is an amazing first-person shooter for me. It's a very good survival horror game. Is it different from the other Dooms? Hell yeah, it is. Of course. They took it in a survival horror direction. I liked it. I know a lot of people didn't, but it's fantastic. They got some great mods out there for it. The BFG edition, if you buy that, you know, it comes with a whole bunch of extras, including Doom, the first one. If you never played Doom, the first one, play it with headphones on. You'll shit yourself. It's so much fun, though, man. Like, it is so...
All right, note to self. Don't play Doom 3 with my headphones on, because I'm not trying to shit myself.
I know some people who may be, but not me. But no, it's a really good game. It's a good first-person shooter. And it's not as hectic or chaotic as the other ones. It does do, you know, take its corners a little bit differently, if you will. It takes its whole mode in seriousness a little bit differently. And I know that a lot of people found that as a failing or a shortcoming, but I actually really enjoyed it. What's your number three, Todd?
Okay, this one just made the list because I think everybody in the world should know what both of our number one games for Bethesda is going to be. It's probably number one game for everybody who likes Bethesda or anything to do with gaming. So I had to
I will back. Shock you.
I'm glad. See, now that's not surprising, though. What also doesn't shock me is if you had a van down by the river with ropes.
Shane's I live in a van down by the river.
Nah, but Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
Like, I put that on there because, I don't know, man. It's just, for me, that kind of laid the groundwork for the greatness that hopefully we'll see down the line with Elder Scrolls 6. That was kind of teased in E3. And it was just a cool, you know, I mean, how much do I need to talk about Oblivion?
Yeah.
These lists are just kind of, you know. It is what it is. So Elder Scrolls Oblivion. That's my shit.
I dig it. My number three, we've talked about a little bit, but already, is Fallout New Vegas. Fallout New Vegas is my number three. I love Fallout New Vegas. To me, this is the penultimate Fallout game. I like Fallout 3 and I like Fallout 4, but Fallout New Vegas was the only one that I really, really fell in love with in a big way. And maybe it was because of the dialogue choices, and I've talked about that before, and I shouldn't have to go into that again. Everybody's heard what I love about playing an idiot in those games. It's the way you talk. It is the way people talk,
man,
to you.
I know. You can't help it, though. Like, every time you bring it up, it's just like, man, you ever play it where you were, like, really, really dumb and then saw the dialogue tree and how people talk to you? Like, I love pizza. And it took the glee in your face, how you light up every time. Every time.
It's my favorite thing. See? It's one of my favorite things in the world. I just love it. I love being so stupid in that game. But that being said, outside of being stupid in the dialogue trees and the way people treat you, it just felt very fleshed out. Like, that was the thing about New Vegas. It felt, compared to, like, Fallout 3 was good and Fallout 4 was good, but Fallout New Vegas felt like a real game to me. Like, not a real game, but it was like Fallout 4 and Fallout 3 always had these ideas, and it seemed like they tried to branch in too many different directions. Like, you had the building mode in Fallout 4, and you had all the distracting side quests in Fallout 3. Fallout New Vegas felt like a very, very well done story game that just really handled its shit and just kept it compact and on the move. And I loved that about it. That was my favorite. Because I love the Fallout world. I just don't want to spend 250 hours in the Fallout world. Like, so New Vegas was good for that.
I like the idea, anything that's compact and on the move, bro. I love that you just said that. Like, anything, you know, get on in there.
That's what I like about it. What's your number two?
Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, man. Machine games are cool for this shit. Let's get back to it. I love killing Nazis. I love it. It warms my heart. It makes me feel great. With dual guns, just killing them in inventive ways, blowing them up, electrocuting them. I kind of just been trying to get to the list to get to these last two games. Because Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, I didn't get a chance to play the other ones. It was my first Wolfenstein game. I went into it purposely that way. And you can check that out on previous, I think maybe it's like episode 4 that we did.
I believe so.
You know what I mean? But yeah, man, just Bethesda, that's one of just the idea of it all. I mean, it's just a good, I mean, you can kill Nazis, bro. I don't give a fuck. That's it. I'm gonna keep saying the same thing. An inventive way to do it. The AI was pretty decent on it, which is something I'm always looking at. You know what I mean? It's not the greatest in the world. Don't get me wrong. But it was decent enough. And really, more so than anything, just the story is set apart from a lot of games for me. A lot. So, yeah. Wolfenstein 2, New Colossus, BJ Blazkowicz.
BJ Blazkowicz. Speaking of killing Nazis, there's a new movie coming out I really want to see. This is serious. It's got Sam Elliott in it. It's called The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot. I cannot wait to see this.
What does that even mean? Okay.
Apparently, okay,
so they're trying to go ahead.
Apparently, it's about a guy who secretly killed Hitler during World War II, and then the FBI recruits him to go kill the Bigfoot. So, I cannot wait to see this.
We'll see how that works out, sir. We'll see how that works out.
You know how I like trashy movies, Todd. You know how I like trashy movies.
What was my number 7 game? Wet.
Wet. My number two. This may shock some people. I really like this game. I played a lot of this game on two different platforms. Elder Scrolls Online.
Wow.
I love Elder Scrolls Online. I spent many an hour playing this game. It was enjoyable to me. And I like when MMOs are done on console really well, when they do a good job of translating, because that's extremely difficult with the controller schemes, and we've seen a few that have done it well. And so I think Elder Scrolls Online handled it perfectly. The fact that you could switch between doing it first-person mode and doing it third-person mode. The quest lines...
I'm sorry, I'm childish. Go ahead.
The quest lines were a lot of fun. The storylines were a lot of fun. And the fact that, you know, Bethesda started out with Elder Scrolls Online getting really terrible reviews, and people talking about how trash it was and just the garbage that they released, and they just stuck behind it. And now it's become a really good game. It's not a World of Warcraft killer by any means or any stretch of the imagination, but if you're looking for a fun time with friends online, Elder Scrolls Online is the way to go. It's a blast.
From what I understand, the only thing that kills World of Warcraft is crack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Down with Terry Crews. But
crack down with Terry Crews.
You just triggered like a lot of people, bro. So I'm gonna. All right. I just lost it. What was that? Your number?
That was my two. That was my number two. You were on to your number one, but yeah, I mean, Elder Scrolls Online. I know it's going to trigger a lot of people who really don't enjoy this game, but hey, this is my opinion. And if you disagree with me, let me know why. It's fine. I just had a lot of fun and good memories with this game.
And you know what? Like, I started off playing it, and you actually listening it that way. I just don't think I spent enough time with it.
Yeah,
I don't think I wrote it out. So, did they support it?
Yeah.
Throughout? Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. They've really supported it. It's become one of those games that I will. I'm about to reinstall on my PlayStation 4 to revisit. Okay. And you know,
I'm thinking about doing the same thing since like, I'm sorry, I mean, cut you off, but it was I'm thinking about doing the same thing since Elder Scrolls 6 will probably come out in 2056. So it'll give me something else to play.
You got it on PlayStation? Build on.
Yeah, I already got it.
Okay. So then me, you, and a couple other people from the STT tribe could get on there and group up and start questing together. I think that'd be all right.
Check it out. Check it out. All right.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. What's your number one, Todd?
NBA Jam.
Woo!
Seriously, bro. All jokes aside, obviously, it's going to be Elder Scrolls Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Sorry. Yeah. That's just one of my favorite games ever, period. We talked about this on a previous episode. I really want to do... I could do a whole run through again, just trying to be like a stealth assassin and kill people that they never knew it. Know it. I forgot what it is, man. The Brotherhood. Which Brotherhood? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Get the war horse. I just remember missions like that. And the fact that you could be a cat and see it the night better or whatever. Just the whole character creator aspects of it. It's legitimately easily one of my favorite games ever. I've spent so many hours playing that fucking game. Bethesda's greatness is all in that game. And it gave it to the community. This whole list, really, for me, it really was just to get to Elder Scrolls, just to spew, and hopefully people out there that feel the same way show how much I just love that goddamn game. It crossed so many borders, so many different types of people. I literally only played Elder Scrolls Skyrim and NBA Live for like a year and a half, 2 years, period.
Doesn't that feel good when you can find a game where you're just like, yeah, this is it. This is the one. This is the one I'm going to play over and over.
I seriously just get in a universe, run around, and make the game my own. And that's why it's so important for this list. I think with Bethesda overall, we can get into the details of specs and get into the details of everything else. But it's more so just a general feel of the community that they've built and the power that they've given their community over their games to kind of help out. That's the reason why Skyrim is still around. We talk about it all the time. The concerns with 76 coming out, taking that away from the community a little bit as far as the modding aspects that has, you know, kept giving a juice to Skyrim. But I mean, it's easily gonna be top five forever. I can't think of another game that's gonna just knock it out of my top five. So of course, Elder Scrolls Skyrim.
Fantastic choice, my friend. Fantastic choice. My number one, I told you I was gonna shock you. It's not Skyrim. It should have been Skyrim for a lot of people's ideas, but I intentionally avoided it. Reason why?
I know, because you're being contrarian.
No, it's just I love it so much. It's just been, I knew it was going to be your number one. And it's like,
yeah.
I've talked to death about Skyrim with other people and how much I love that game. My number one is Doom from 2016. Doom from 2016. I love that game so much. It was such a great callback to the very first Doom game and the very second or the first two Doom games that came out. You know, you've got the little doll with the space marine and he gives it the fist bump and it's just extremely fast paced and action packed and just it's literally Doom on steroids. And I absolutely fell in love with this game the first time I played it. The soundtrack, I've got the demon statue in my room. I mean, I bought the special edition of this game, like with the statue and everything, because I love Doom. And, you know, Doom for me always will hold a special place because Doom is the first video game I remember shocking me. Like, I'd played Mario, I'd played Sonic, but when we got a computer in the household and my buddy came to my house one day and he's like, hey, put these in. This will take me back. It was the floppy disks. You remember the floppy disk?
Man. Hell yeah.
He's like, we started installing it. And then I played it and I just kind of looked at it and just in my mind, I was like, what the hell is this? why is this amazing? And just would not stop. And Doom, I will always be a fan of Doom from day one. But Doom 3, or Doom from 2016, is by far my favorite game of the last, it's one of my favorite games of the last 10 years. And like you said about Skyrim, Skyrim's extremely important. I think Doom was important too for revitalizing kind of the crazy first-person action genre, you know, with the single player too. Because a lot of first-person shooters right now stick to the multiplayer. You've got Battlefield 5, you've got the Call of Duty series, and a lot of those are going to stick to that. You've got the game that I love, Overwatch, so much. But Doom really established, hey, you can still do a first-person single-player or a single-player first-person shooter game, and you can do it successfully, and you can do it well. And
wise and wonderful choice, my friend. Seriously, great number one. I was fucking with you, but seriously. Did you get it on the Switch?
No, I did not. I got it on the Xbox. I want to buy it for the Switch, but I still love my Xbox version of that game so much, and I don't know if it's one that I want to rebuy, if you know what I mean. Like, I've played it, but I would like to play it portably. Well, that's been this week's Minnesota Top 7 Bethesda Games. Thank you so much for sticking around. Remember, you can find us at Twitter at @STT_pod. You can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpod. You can find us at Instagram at skipthetutorialpodcast. You can find us on Podbean or Spotify coming soon, or Stitcher or CastBox or Google Play or wherever you get your podcast at. We're going to be there haunting you like the devils of your past.
what the fuck? But she's right.
Yeah, that's true. And as we always do when we sign off, stay humble.
Stay humble.